Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you occasional sage advice from two technology experts. But that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when they've they're so close to not buying an iPhone before a new one comes out. They just got to hold on for just a little tiny bit longer, Karen. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On the show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
Oh, damn it. That was three.
That was, well, you know what? I don't want to draw too much attention to this, but we have been off for the past couple weeks. So I think we could make up a few laughs. If we go a little bit over our quota, I think it's, you know, permissible.
That's fair. That's fair enough. We'll allow that. We can say that was one laugh event.
Should we change the intro? You have to say one or two laugh events along the way.
Yes. I think that works. I think that's very smooth. Sounds great.
It's very clear. I agree. No confusion.
Yeah. Not confusing, not extremely bizarre. I'll tell you what is extremely bizarre though. And that is that Apple is not increasing the starting price on the iPhone yet again. We've got new word in from Mark Gurman just 7 minutes ago, okay? And he says, I expect the touch-sensitive camera button to be on all iPhone 16 models tomorrow. The slimmer bezels on the Pro line are noticeable, as are battery life improvements. I don't expect the Pro entry price to be raised from $999. That's huge. Big focus will be on AI and A18 chip across the board. So that's an interesting update here from old Gurmy, and it touches on a whole bunch of the rumors that we've heard about. So I think what we should do tonight, given that we are about 15 hours from this Apple event, is go through all of the rumors that we're expecting for this event chronologically. So let's start with the Apple Watch Series 10. And I don't know about you, Noah, but this was looking kind of promising, you know, earlier in the year when it seemed like this was going to be a big update. Did you follow that?
I remember there were the rumors of like the magnetic band attachments, and they were going to do like a redesign, make it, I think, even thinner. I feel like the regular ones are already pretty thin, but whatever. Did we lose some of those features that we thought we were going to get?
Yeah, all of them. They're gone. All of them are gone.
Even like the magnetic band and all that stuff's gone. Oh, what happened?
Yes. Yeah. So basically, I don't know what that was all about, but this is the second time now that this has happened. Because remember, it was either the Series 7 or the Series 8 was supposed to be this whole crazy redesign. And Gurman, John Prosser, everybody was publishing their little leaks, being like, oh my gosh, the redesigned Apple Watch is about to launch. And it never happened. And then we got jebaited again this year. We were supposed to get, you're right, a new design, the Series 10, a new magnetic band mechanism with a slimmer case design, with less rounded edges. And I was like, oh my God, this sounds pretty awesome. I'm excited for this. But not anymore. In fact, we even had another rumor that there was going to be two sizes of Apple Watch, but that they were basically going to kill off the little guy, you know, the 41 millimeter. Apparently, they were going to axe that, and there were going to be two Apple Watches, 145, 149. People are still standing by that, but from what I've seen, I think it's going to be 42 and 46 millimeters on these watches. So the only design difference will be slimming down the bezels. I don't even think we're supposedly getting a thinner case design, maybe just a little bit. But the headlines are better battery life, hopefully for the first time since the Apple Watch came out. So that would be nice. Probably a new chip, the S10, which, you know, how much, what do you, who cares? It's an Apple Watch chip. It's fine. Yeah, that's, oh, That maybe there was going to be new sensors, like sleep apnea detection, but apparently they can't do that because of the Masimo lawsuit, and it uses that sensor, and there was like trouble with that, so we don't even know if we're going to get that.
Yeah, I feel like the past couple years of the Apple Watch have been... Okay, the Ultra was obviously big. When the Ultra was announced, it was like, that was huge, battery life's insane, new design, whatever, whatever. Very cool. The Ultra 2 was like the most underwhelming, or like, I guess we weren't really expecting that much, but it was like such a nothing. Like,
yeah,
literally only Sam Cole is gonna buy that thing. Like no right. one like you're not gonna buy that thing unless you're Sam.
Didn't you get one?
Temporarily.
Oh, true.
But I had no choice. No one is
so
going to.
So they replaced
to...
your Ultra with another Ultra One, right? They didn't upgrade you.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think this is an Ultra One that they gave me.
The fact that you can't even tell is hilarious.
Yeah, I know. Like, literally, I guess I could go in the settings or something, but, like, there's no, like, you can't look at it and tell. It's, like, the same thing. So, whatever. I feel like the Apple Watch, the regular Apple Watch, like the 7 had the bigger, like, the screen, like, went out to the edges or whatever. That was, I guess, something. That's the year we were expecting the big upgrade or the redesign. We didn't really get a redesign, but we got something that was at least a little bit better. I think that was the year they brought the keyboard, the full-size keyboard, because the screen ended up being bigger, something like that. But then I feel like the 8 and the 9, there really wasn't that much of a difference. And now we're about to hit the 10, and it's sounding like there's not much of a difference. I mean, I guess the Apple Watch is already pretty good as it is, but it's starting to look like the iPad Pro kind of thing, where it's like, they're just doing these little changes that aren't really moving the needle because, you know, what are they going to do? It's you know, it's a good product already.
Yeah, I agree. It's a bit tough. I mean, the thing is, the Apple Watch kind of exists on its own platform as like a little accessory thing. So like, I don't think Apple's too worried about, you know, each generation being this massive update. The way it tends to go is you buy an Apple Watch, you keep it until it's absolutely beaten to shit or it doesn't get updates anymore or the battery is just terrible, and then you just buy whatever one is newest. That's basically how it works.
Yeah, unless like – or not unless, but I feel like that's becoming you know, more and more like the Apple Watches are getting stronger, so they're not getting beaten to shit as quickly. And I don't know if the software support is longer. I think the first couple were pretty short, but for a while it's been pretty decent. But I feel like – and the battery life, especially if you have the Ultra, the battery life is already so insane to begin with that it would take a long time for you to lose it. So I feel like they really – it really is kind of like the iPad Pro that they're lasting long. So I agree with you, but I think that they're lasting even longer than they have in the past.
You're definitely right, but I will tell you one thing. I think I'm starting to notice the battery life slipping on my Ultra. We're coming up on now 2 years though. So like I'm very happy with it. I have no complaints, but it is not as good as it was. I will say that for sure. Like I used to do 2 full days. The third day I'd get pretty low. Maybe I'd have to charge it in the afternoon. Now it's like pretty much 1 full day. By the evening of the next day, it's like, I should probably charge this, but I could maybe get away with it. And then by the third day, it's usually very low and I need a midday charge. So like, granted, we're still talking about more than 24 hours, but at the end of the second day, I used to be at like 50, 40%. Now I'm at like 25%. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely noticeable. I feel like it also depends on your, like, so for me, I still charge mine every day. Like, you know, when I hop in the shower at night or in the morning or whatever, I'll plug it in or, you know, stick it on the charger for a little bit. So for me, I don't really try to push it in that way where I go 2-3 days without charging it. But I like to know that I could do that. So if I, like, forget my charger, or I forget to put it on the charger, or I don't get to charge it for very long and it doesn't charge up that much, I can still know, even if I go to bed and it's at, you know, 40-50%, I'll know I can make it through the night, maybe even the next day. So I like that, but I don't really try to push it too much. I will also say that you mentioned that my Apple Watch was replaced, so I of course got a new battery when that happened, so my degradation is not as bad as yours.
Yeah, that's true. That is fair. I don't know. I mean, overall, I'm not complaining, right? It's just starting to become to a point where I can notice that the battery's getting worse, and it's 2 years of daily use. I literally wear this thing pretty much 24/7. I sleep track most nights. That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's a lot of battery cycles. Actually, I wonder how many it is. Can you check that? Is that possible?
The number of cycles on the Apple Watch?
Yeah, do I have to go to the watch app for that?
It's on the Apple Watch itself. Let's see if it tells you the number of cycles.
I want to see if it'll tell me on the...
It doesn't. No, so for me, it says I have 100% maximum capacity, which is actually pretty impressive because I've had this watch for almost a year. But it does not say the number of cycles, unfortunately.
Wait, have you really had it that... I guess it has been that long.
I think it was like October.
I feel like you've had that watch for like 20 minutes. I didn't realize it had been that long. Oh
no,
my God.
That is really weird. But I think it was like last October when my thing happened.
All right, here we go. Battery health. Ah, yeah, I'm at 88%.
Ooh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. That is faster than... It lasts longer than iPhones, for sure. Like, on my Pro Max, 15 Pro Max here, I am already... I mean, I'm not going to keep this phone for 2 years and use it daily, but I'm at 93% right now, which, by the way, has been dropping precipitously. I stayed at 100% for like 9 or 10 months, and then it has been going down like much, much more steadily. But if I kept this phone for another year, guarantee it would be way lower than 88%. So yeah, Apple Watch Ultra I'm very happy with. Sorry, we got distracted here talking about batteries. But the Apple Watch Series 10, I am really not that excited about. I will be interested to see because I have been thinking, it's been 2 years since I bought an Apple Watch. I've been on the Ultra game. I like the Ultra. But every once in a while, I see a stainless steel regular Apple Watch with a really nice band, and I think, that does look quite classy.
Yeah, I feel like I do. So I have a Series 5. That was the original Apple Watch. It went to my sister or my mom for some amount of time, but they didn't need it anymore. So I have it back as a backup. I literally carry that watch with me. I bring it with me on all of my traveling, so that in case my Apple Watch Ultra breaks, like the last one did, I will have a backup so that I can close my rings. It's like that bad. Yeah.
Whoa. Have you thought about therapy?
I have. And you know what? It might not be a terrible idea.
Yeah, I think you should give it the old college try so you don't have to bring a backup Apple Watch.
Yeah, so not ideal, but I will say, like, sometimes I'll look at that thing. It is so small and it's so thin, and it's like the Ultra, it's like not super heavy, and it's like excuse me, it's nothing crazy, but it like is objectively pretty big. And when you compare it to the regular Apple Watch, it is very noticeable. And the Series 5 I think is losing support this year. I think it's not getting watchOS, whatever the version that's coming out this month. I don't think it's getting that version. And so I'm thinking, like, I don't know, if this Series 10 is, like, really good, I could consider getting one as a backup slash secondary, or you know, maybe get an older one for cheaper. But I don't know. I'm looking at it.
It could be your formal watch and your casual watch, your workout watch versus your daily. You know, and for reference, you are correct. WatchOS 11. You need Apple Watch SE second generation or Apple Watch Series 6 and up. So it is going to drop the Series 5, which is unfortunate. But the crazy thing is, you can actually pick up Series 5 Apple Watches for dirt cheap these days. And honestly, I feel like even without being on the current version of WatchOS, you could totally have a very usable experience. And I know this firsthand because I just bought, I gave my girlfriend my Series 5 because she wanted an Apple Watch. And I was like, all right, that's in a drawer. Have at it. That got cracked quite quickly. So, yeah. And now, so I was like, all right, well, let me just get a Series 5, but this time I'll make it a stainless steel. So we get that sapphire glass, if you know what I mean. And, I paid like $100 for a stainless steel Series 5. I mean, I know they're pretty old now, but like old Apple Watches, like I wonder if you could buy a Series 7 for like, damn, 200. 280 with cellular. Actually, a lot of these are, wait, titanium. You're telling me you can get a titanium Apple Watch for $200? That doesn't make sense. Look at that. You can get a little guy, the 41, for $130. And you'll get at least, I'd say, probably 2 years of software updates. $140 for a 45 with cellular. Gosh, that's... Wow. I'm rethinking everything. Maybe I'll just get a Series 7 if I wanted to get a smaller Apple Watch. I mean, what features do you really, really need from one of the newer watches that you can't get on one that's like a 7 or an 8? They're still perfectly good and they all look the same.
Yeah, I mean, like the past few years of Apple Watch updates have been pretty minor. So, and again, it really is like, I don't want to derail the conversation, but it really is like that iPad situation where it's like, don't buy one of the new ones, or like, I guess the brand new ones, maybe buy them, but like, more realistically, buy a pre-owned one that's a couple years old. You'll get most of what you want, and it's a lot cheaper. It's like, you know, don't buy a new iPad Air. Buy a used iPad Pro. It's like the same thing. Do you really need the latest Apple Watch, especially with the blood oxygen sensor disabled, whatever? Like, do you really need that? Or do you just get, like, the Series 7 like you were just looking at? It's a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Hopefully... We were hoping that Apple would do something big this year for the Apple Watch. It sounds like it's not really going to pan out that way. But hopefully there will be something interesting tomorrow for the Apple Watch.
Yeah, I'm not holding out hope. I'll tell you that much. But I want to switch gears and talk about the iPhone, because I've kind of come around on this. There's a couple of things that have changed my mind to where I am now actually quite excited for the iPhone 16. So let me give you the run through on the big major stuff that we're expecting. Number one, we'll break it down into categories. All right. First off, we've got cameras. Lots of fun stuff in cameras, and I honestly, when the iPhone 11 Pro came out and it debuted that Pro moniker, I was like, yeah, okay, buddy, throw another camera on it, call it Pro. Yeah, whatever. They have delivered on that, I think it's safe to say. Now, they may not deliver all at once, right? The Apple of yore, where they used to come out and blow up the world with the iPhone 5 and then the iPhone 6 and like change things so dramatically, they don't do that anymore. Now it's very iterative. However, they have made the Pro iPhone actually Pro. And the thing that I am most excited for this cycle is the 48 megapixel ultra wide camera and the capture button. These are going to be some really, really important features. And I, in the past 2 years especially, have really started to lean on my phone as a way of getting content that looks really good really quickly. If you recall, in the pre-show here, for anyone watching live, I showed the car channel video that I've been working on for the past quite a while now. And actually, a lot of the footage for that was shot on iPhones. And honestly, for how simple it is to set up, you can get some really, really incredible shots very, very easily without anywhere near the kind of equipment or manpower that you would normally have to use for something like that. I can pull up a couple of examples of this. Here we go. Let me pull up the video. And this is why I really, really, really care about iPhone camera updates. So for... I'm putting the quality up, but it's not going to matter because you're watching this in a terrible stream. There's an iPhone shot right there being held out of the sunroof of a moving car. Here's one held out the window, right? Handheld shot there. I don't even think that they were using action mode. But did you see how much better... that looks really good for shooting stuff in a pinch, for shooting stuff for professionally. And keep in mind, the footage there, these clips are just, literally just shot handheld. No apps, not shooting in Pro Raw, not doing anything crazy. This is just use the action button, hold your phone out the window, and these are the types of shots that you can get. So, why am I excited this year? Well, the ultra-wide camera is going to be getting upgraded to 48 megapixels. That is going to do two things. Number one, the ultra-wide camera, which is my favorite camera ever, is going to be able to shoot Pro Raw, Pro Res. It's going to be so nice to have that resolution on that camera. Number two, it's going to almost certainly fix that horrible, irritating minimum focus distance issue that we've talked about before, where you're like 8 inches away from something and it switches over to a cropped in ultra wide and it's like, ugh, it looks terrible. And the secret third thing that I forgot about is spatial video. Ba-ba-da-boobity-boo. Right now, they're using the ultra wide camera to shoot spatial video, but the problem is it's 12 megapixel. So the spatial videos are only in 1080p. But if you have two 48 megapixel sensors, you can shoot 4K, my guy.
Yeah. See, I find that interesting. Like, for a long time, I was never super interested in the cameras on iPhones. Like, back in high school, college, I would, take pictures of things occasionally, but I was, never super into the cameras. I never really cared about them that much. And I would buy... Well, I guess the Pro iPhones started a little bit later than that. I would have, the iPhone 6 and the 10 and whatever. But lately, over the past few years, I've been doing a lot more traveling, and I've been taking a lot of pictures lately on all my trips and whatever. And so I actually do care a lot more about the cameras now than I did. So I like the Pro phone. I like having all of the options. I really like the 5X zoom that the Pro Max has. I guess the rumor, I think, is that the regular Pro is going to be getting it this year. But I really like the 5X zoom. Because I guess the default is or on the non-Max, it has the 3X zoom, which is not all that different than the 2X zoom. So I like that you can do the 0.5, the 1, and then, you can go all the way to 5X and capture things that are really far away. I think the 2X is my go-to. I very often end up hitting the 2 versus the 1. But I like having all the different options, and so it'll be cool, if the ultra wide camera is 48 megapixel. It takes better pictures. Maybe I'll start using it more often. I know a lot of people really like the look of that camera. Like, it obviously it like distorts the size of things or the dimensions a little bit to do that 0.5, and you're able to fit more in the frame. But a lot of people like to take pictures with the 0.5, even if you don't need it. They just like the look of it. And so, you know, maybe if it's a nicer camera, I think a lot of people will like that. And I think maybe, you know, I'll, you know, try to use it a little bit more.
That's true. That's a good point. And I think that, well, actually, you're going to have more good news on that front, because the regular iPhone 16 Pro, although I guess you're on the Pro Max now.
Yeah, probably.
Dang. Well, I mean, that's great news nonetheless, but for those less intelligent than you who are still on the regular iPhone Pro size, the 5X telephoto lens is apparently going to be coming to that phone as well. So that should be pretty exciting, actually. I think a lot of people were definitely bummed about missing out on that. It definitely did also work in Apple's favor, because I know several people, like my dad, who went from a Pro to a Pro Max specifically to get that camera and more battery life, and will probably not be going back, because once you go up, you don't go down. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that that's going to end up being the case for me. Like, I'm already used to the Pro Max. Although, isn't it getting bigger this year? Like, slightly bigger?
Yeah, that's a great segue, Noah. Thank you very much. We need to now move away from cameras and into design, shall we say. Now, design for the regular 16 is actually much more interesting, because we've got that new camera bump design that's been going around for a little while. I've seen the mock-ups. I've seen the CADs. I actually quite like it. It's kind of harkens back to the iPhone X, which is, I think, a good thing. So you've got that camera detail, which, by the way, I guarantee means it's going to be able to shoot spatial video. Like, there's no other reason that they would put the cameras in line like that than if they were doing that. So be prepared for that. But on the Pros, the only design change that we're expecting is, like you mentioned, that the larger screens. Now, I don't think that's going to make a huge difference. I have a little thing. Hang on. Don't tell anyone about this.
It's a
secret. I may or may not have a 16 Pro Max case.
Ooh.
And, oh, yeah. Oh, dude, this. Oh, these are, it's bigger.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Okay. That so I'm kind of holding it in here. Do you see the gap on the bottom?
Yeah.
And there's a smaller gap on the side. It seems like it's getting taller more than wider.
Hmm.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a big phone. It's going up 0.2 of an inch. We're going to 6.9 inches.
Nice. Let me tell you,
not the only thing that's 6.9 inches.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, 0.2 inches doesn't sound like that much. Believe you me, it makes a difference. Oh,
that's big all, difference, that's all I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine going back in time and telling someone in 2007 when the 3.5-inch original iPhone came out and saying, hey, guy, you're a... You know your phone, in about 17 years, it's going to be that big? They would say, are you actually on crack?
I mean, remember, like, how long ago was this? 8 years ago when people were talking about phablets, the phone tablet? Like, that's just normal now. That's just what everyone has now.
I guarantee you the first phablets were the same size as a normal-ass phone is now.
Oh, I believe that. Let's see.
Okay, so in the early 2010s... Oh, I remember this. Do you remember back in the day when they used to have a couple of 3x2 aspect ratio displays where it was like they were super fat?
Hmm. I'm not sure. Which ones were... who did that? Samsung?
I think Huawei did that a little bit. Mm. I think LG did that back before they discontinued all of their phones. What was the first phablet? See, now phablets are... I'm seeing one on Amazon. It's 10 inches. That's a tablet, dog. That's just a normal tablet.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. You can't... That's not real.
Whoa, wait a second. Yeah? I just looked up phablet on Wikipedia, and it says... the term is largely unused by the late 2010s since average phone sizes eventually morphed into small tablet sizes up to 6.9 inches with wider aspect ratios. That's the magic number.
There you go. There you go. Dang, that is so goofy. Anyway, yeah, these phones are not going to be small. What is curious is the battery. That's the next category, if you were following along at home. All right, here's the deal. Battery, this is going to be a big year, I suspect. The best years for iPhone batteries were the 11 Pro and the 13 Pro. The 12 Pro was doo-doo. The 14 Pro was eh. The 15 Pro was eh. 16 Pro, we've got a couple of things going on. Number one, new stacked battery design. I envision this being something kind of akin to the old 12-inch MacBook where they had that terraced, contoured battery cell. I think it's going to be a sort of a thin, layered battery. And, crucially, in a metal enclosure. The goal here is capacity and thermal management. So, theoretically, these new batteries should be able to be a lot more efficient and not heat your phone up as much. And that's really important because you know when it's a hot day, your phone starts getting warm, and the battery is just like, I gotta go. I'm out of here. We're not doing anything. The electrons are gone. It's not happening anymore, boss man. Yep. And hopefully we should be fixing that with this new design. So the phones are getting bigger. The batteries have a new design. Please, please, this had better be 20% improved battery life. That's what I want to see. I have a very lofty expectations.
I think the iPhones really need it. Like when I upgraded to the Pro Max this year, I remember I was initially super impressed. I'm like, wow, there's so much battery life. I think I set it to, you know, you can charge up to 80%. And I've done that pretty much the entire time I've had this phone. I set the maximum to 80%. And at the beginning, it was like, oh, this is great. I can set the max to 80% and I don't go anywhere near, you know, the bottom. I'll be above 20% before I go to bed. Like, oh, this is amazing. I'm so whatever. Fast forward even a few months. I don't think it even took that long to really start degrading. And at this point, it's like I'll go, you know, I'll still charge. Generally, I'll charge up to 80%. I don't go up to 100% usually. But like when I was just on my trip, I was just in New York for the past week. I set it to charge up to 100%. And it usually wouldn't last the whole day. And so sometimes I would be thinking about, like, I have a MagSafe battery. And I would be thinking, like, ooh, should I take this battery with me? Do I have to have this big clunky battery in my pocket that I'm walking around the city all day? But usually I would take it because I would be like, I don't want to risk my phone running out of power. And I don't trust it anymore. And so now I'm at, like, I think 92%. You said you were at 93%. So we're basically in the same boat. But, like, I don't know. The battery life, it hasn't even been a year. It's been almost a year. And the battery life is just not doing it for me. It hasn't been doing it for me for a while. I really hope that Apple will actually improve it this year because that is a big thing that needs to be improved.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. They really do need to fix that. I like the idea of that 80% limit, but like you, it's not usable. You can, even with a Pro Max, if I set it to 80%, I'm not making it through the day. I'm just not. So, you know, if you're going to do it right. I want a phone where I can have an 80% battery limit and not feel the squeeze by 3 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. That seems like an It seems like a pretty simple ask, I'm not going to lie. But we'll see if they can deliver on it. I will say this. It's not the... Oh, shoot. Someone actually just had a very good point. Battery replacement costs probably going to go up. I bet you're right.
Oh, yeah. If it's a fancy new battery system, I could see that.
Uh-oh. Also, another interesting point. What's your screen time? So that's a good comparison. We've had our phones for about the same amount of time. First, what was your maximum capacity again, and what's your cycle count?
My maximum capacity was 92%. Let me double check. 92%. My cycle count is 291.
Interesting. So I'm at 93% with 340 cycles.
That is very interesting.
And my screen time is... I forget. I hate the settings app. I don't know where anything is anymore. They're always moving it. Is it in general?
I think it's just on the top level under focus.
Under focus?
Or like
oh, below yeah, it's it. Over there. I see it. Okay. Whoa. Well, that's not right. Something has happened.
Make sure you set the device to be just the phone and not like all devices.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I don't know why I have not very much. Okay, last week's average. That's better.
Okay.
What was your last week average daily screen time?
I'll preface this by saying that I was traveling, so it's a little bit, I may be abnormal, but it's saying 5 hours and 58 minutes.
That's not bad. Mine's 4:38 because I'm cool. However, the week before that, I was traveling as well, so it was 7 hours.
Also, I just want to point out, like, I didn't even realize this, but my number one app by far, this is not seeable, is Sudoku. Apparently, I played Sudoku for 10 hours last week. Apparently.
Are you all right?
And the week before that, I played it.
Do you actually use it that much?
14 and a half hours. It says I played Sudoku for 14 and a half hours the week before. That's crazy.
Do you actually, like, do you believe that, or is that a bug?
Maybe. I mean, I have been playing a lot of Sudoku lately.
Good
lord.
That's
crazy. That's too much Sudoku.
Yeah, I should say so. I can't play more than 10 minutes of Sudoku or I get bored because I'm an iPad kid.
Yeah, that's fair.
I somehow managed to be an iPad kid who was born before the millennium. I don't know how I did that.
Yeah, they'll get you.
Yeah, maybe it's the ADHD. I think that kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
I am depressed to learn, though, that my most used is TikTok. That's pretty sad.
Ooh, that's some Gen Z, Gen Alpha energy right there, as they would
say. Not beating the allegations. Below that, also Twitter. That's my second most used. That's rough. And below that is messages. So at least I'm popular. Mm.
That's good. Also, totally unrelated, but sort of related. I just thought this was funny. I have not, I don't go on Twitter anymore. I was wasting too much time on it, so I took it off my home screen, which made me stop going on it. But as a consequence, I think I learned about the Apple event tomorrow, a full, 24 hours after it was announced.
Yeah, that's kind of, you can't unplug.
That's not great. That I'm also telling on myself here.
You are clearly using Sudoku as a nicotine patch. You have replaced one addiction with another one, and I don't think that you're better off for it.
No, you're right. No, you're so.
Also, you're getting roasted. You're getting spit roasted here. Sudoku is too Gen X for you, Noah.
I don't know, man.
You're giving 51 divorced right now.
Ugh. Well, you know, sometimes that's how I feel, so. It makes sense.
Oh, jeez. You can't be divorced. Never mind.
Say it.
No. Oh, what were we talking about? Battery life. Okay.
Battery life. Better
next
battery life.
Next up on the list of updates, we've got the capture button. This one I think is going to be interesting. I mean, if you don't care about iPhone cameras, sorry. Too bad. Basically, oh God, now he's over here dying. Look at him.
Go on without me.
Maybe you are 51.
You know what? You might be right. Actually, the evidence is piling up here.
You should do one of those. God, I'm telling myself here. If you were on TikTok, they would say, what's your biological age? Can you believe that? I keep seeing that stuff and it makes me so pissed. I'm like, what do you mean biological age? That doesn't make any sense. Age is a clock.
I don't know, man. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm 51 and divorced.
They need to be more cool like us, talking about the capture button remotely on our virtual podcast, because we're very cool.
Oh,
as he slowly dies in the background.
Tell my wife I love her.
Oh, jeez.
My ex-wife.
Oh, no. She took the kids. Anyway, okay. the capture button. Yes. So the capture button, I'm actually really excited for that because it's going to function kind of like a DSLR where you can half press to focus. Ironically, though, I actually don't really use that feature that often on my DSLR because I'm a normal person and I either use focus tracking, autofocus, or I just manual focus it. But anyway, apparently it's also going to be touch sensitive. And oh, look at that. I've got this little case here with the little cutout. Look at that. Wonder what could go there. Interesting. Don't tell anyone about this. Anyway, that little button, which is I'd say about this big, just based on nothing in my hand. And that, you know, that little button, that's a pretty big button actually, right? It's got some width to it. Which is why it's going to have a capacitive surface, which apparently, according to Mark Gurman, so it must be true, means you can zoom in and out on it. I assume they're going to have some very satisfying haptics to go with that too. That would be my guess. I think that this is going to be the best button in the world.
That is something that I'm actually pretty excited about. Like I said, I've been taking a lot more pictures lately. I have my action button assigned to the camera, and I do actually use that sometimes. It is nice to be able to, like, hit a physical button to open the camera without, especially, I use it a lot, like, when I'm at concerts, or if I'm somewhere that I just want to whip my phone out real quick, take a picture or video, put it back in my pocket. It's nice to have a physical button that you can use to just open it. But I will say, like, I sometimes will toggle the setting between opening the camera or opening the video mode or opening the photo mode in the camera. Like if I'm at a concert, I want to default to video. If I'm like walking around, doing a hike or whatever, I want to default to photo. So I wonder if the capture button could allow you to toggle between them, or if you do a different kind of press, it would do a different one, something like that. But I think regardless, having a physical button to do those things, the zooming is especially because I feel like sometimes I try to hit the like a different button and it like doesn't, like I'm hitting the wrong place or it doesn't work, whatever. Physical button for like zooming, capturing, focusing, whatever. I feel like that could actually be super nice. And I think it's also kind of unique. Are there other phones that have a button that does all that, a button with a capacitive touch surface that can do all that? Maybe there probably are, but like not super popular ones. I think that's kind of a unique thing.
Yeah, I see. The thing is, when you say something like that on the internet, guarantee if I were to go out here and say, yeah, you're right, Noah, no other phone has done this, there's going to be five people in my inbox within 10 minutes being like, actually, you stupid idiot, in 2019, in January, a small brand called Blimpmobile introduced a phone with a capture button. So actually, Apple copied them. It's like, okay, so then why didn't it catch on? Okay, because it clearly the holistic approach was not there. Okay, even if Apple doesn't do it first, they do it the best. That's literally the whole thing. People always act like this is some new piece of information, you know? When Apple puts a feature on and they're like, oh, yeah, Android's had that for, like, forever. It's like, dude, do you think the iPod was the first MP3 player? No. There were, like, a million of them. Do you think that the Mac was the first computer? No. It wasn't even – they didn't even make the graphical operating system. And a lot of people back in the day, you know, when the Steve Jobs movies came out, they were like, Steve Jobs just bought the graphical user system from another company. Well, they weren't doing anything with it. They didn't see the potential. It's all about seeing the vision and recognizing where trends will be, creating those trends. So it's all well and good if you can invent a technology, but the real value is implementing it on a wide scale. And that's what Apple can do. And whether or not the capture button exists, ever has existed, or will continue to exist, Apple is going to spend an outrageous amount of time making it so exactly the way that they want it to be. They just put more thought into it than everyone else. I don't know. I guess that's the only way to put it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, like, yeah, a lot of the time the things that Apple adds are like things that Android has had for a long time, or things that other phones or computers or whatever have had for a long time. And yeah, it's very easy to be like, you know, oh, geez, it's about time. Like, yeah, we've had this for forever. I agree with you about Apple, you know, take their time, do it the right way. And I think for this, the capture button, I think it's a relatively new thing. You know, I'm sure there are some phones that have had dedicated capture buttons over the years, but it's not a common, I mean, you look at the iPhone and the Pixel and the top, you know, the Samsung, whatever their flagship phone is. Like, a lot of these phones have a lot of similarities. I think the capture button is something that's a little bit different. And I think that if it actually happens, which we have every reason to believe that it will tomorrow, I think we'll see it come to these other phones as well. And I think it could become sort of a standard thing. And I think that would be cool. I'm excited about the capture button. I was excited about the action button last year. And now it's, you know, kind of meh. Like, it's better than the mute switch, but it's not something I use super often. I hope and I think the capture button is something that I'll use more often than the action button. But regardless, I don't know. It's another cool feature. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see Apple announce it. And I think there's a potential that it could do even a little bit more than we think. Just like that integration, the full integration, all these things. Will there be some AI-related something that we can transition to talking about Apple intelligence here, but like that's a big focus for Apple. Are they going to have some hardware to go with that too?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And that I think hits on the final category, which is the one that we don't really know that much about. And that is, how is this whole AI thing going to work? We've obviously been given a preview of what Apple Intelligence could be. However, what we saw was only really applicable towards M1 and up iPads and MacBooks and the iPhone 15 Pro. The fact that they didn't even do the regular iPhone 15, which I've heard is because they need it needs 8 gigabytes of RAM for Apple Intelligence, which, I don't know, maybe, who knows. But this is now the first phone that's going to be developed specifically around that AI focus. And because it's a software feature, we don't know anything about it, right? All of the leaks that we ever really get for the iPhone are from the supply chain. They're hardware. You know, you get CADs because those go to case makers. You get camera information because someone in a factory is making cameras, right? But software, that's a little bit trickier. That's how we get surprises like the dynamic island. Remember, like a week before the Apple event, we still thought that it was going to be an oval and a dot. We didn't even think they were going to... we thought we were so cool. We were like, oh my God, what if they fill it in? What if they make the whole thing just a pill? Wouldn't that be crazy? And then they did the whole dynamic island, and we were like, oh, wait, that's way better. So who even knows what they could do to surprise us this time?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, I mean, we got a lot of information about Apple Intelligence at WWDC. But the big thing is, like, when Apple announces these new iPhones, I think there's going to be a big focus on AI. Whether you like it or not, personally, you know, you could take it or leave it. Personally, I'd probably leave a good amount of it. Some of it might be cool, but it's beside the point. The point is, like, you look at the Google phones, like Google's doing the Pixel 9 and the 9 series of phones, and they're focusing, like, they're going all in on Gemini integration with the phone and the operating system and everything. Like, they're really focused on that. I mean, the whole tech landscape is all about AI. Whether you like it or not, it's all about AI. Apple has shown that they're clearly not immune to that, because at DubDub they spent a lot of time talking about Apple Intelligence, and, you know, it's this wide-spanning, deep integration, et cetera, et cetera. So you better believe that they're going to be making a big deal about it tomorrow when we're, you know, when they're presenting the new iPhones. The new iPhones are going to be powered by Apple Intelligence. They're going to have deep integrations, whatever. But I agree that there could be a chance for a dynamic island moment, because while we do know quite a bit about Apple Intelligence, we know what it is in the context of the existing devices. And this is the new phone, the flagship device that's going to bring Apple Intelligence to a lot of people. And I really think that Apple's going to lean into that a lot. And hopefully there will be you know, some software features and maybe even hardware features that will, like, really tap into that that power. We're getting a capture button. Are we just going to get the same old hold the side button for Siri? Is that going to be, you know, Siri / Apple Intelligence? Is that going to stick around? Is there going to be something even deeper than that somehow? I don't know what it would be. I don't think they're going to add two buttons in 1 year. That might be a little bit too much for them, but something.
That's an interesting point. Oh, man. I didn't think about that. I'll tell you what, though. Have you seen the new color?
Was it like the copper color or something like that?
I've seen bronze, copper, gold, something like that. To be honest, I'm nervous. I think Apple has good color engineers, but honestly, I've been kind of bored with the Pro iPhones lately. Why do we always just get black, white, silver, and then, like, honestly, I miss the Pacific blue and Sierra blue that we had for the iPhone 12 and the 13. The 14 purple was and the 15 blue was just, it's too dark. So we're not on a good footing here. I think the gold honestly has potential, though, because with the titanium, it could be kind of sick. I always am one to prefer to get the unique color as opposed to the ones that are available every year. But I didn't do that with the 14. I got the regular. I got it in space black, because the purple, I just hated that color. Which I apologize, because I know your mom has the purple one. I assume she got it from you.
I did get the purple one. So I'm in the same boat as you. I like the new color of the year. If I'm going to get a new phone every year, I want to get the new color so that I can, you know, really tell that it's a different phone. But I agree with you. That purple was, like, it was just too dark. Like, I got it because that was the color of the year, and I get the color of the year. But, like, that shade of purple was so dark. It was just that was not it. The blues from the two previous phones, I liked those a lot more. And I agree. So I was just looking it up, like, the gold color. I feel like the gold, like, we've gotten gold and, like, rose gold before, so it's not, like, super new. But if that's the color of the year, I honestly wouldn't be too upset about it.
Yeah, I just hope that, I mean, we've seen some renders of it, and there were some poop phones out there. Let's put it mildly. I did not like that. I was like, oh, God, what are we doing here? What is this? But fortunately, it seems like, from what we're hearing, it seems like it's much more of a gold spectrum. Sonny Dixon is here in the chat saying, it's all gold. Gold is for China, which is true. In Chinese culture, gold, very important. They like gold phones. It's a good business move. I just really hope that it's not like a, whoa, that's really gold. Because I don't love the look of gold. I think gold can be a lot. So I've seen people say, where was it? Desert titanium. Yeah. And someone said they think of the iPhone XS. That I'm okay with. I had the gold iPhone XS. I liked it because the back of it, and I've said this before and I will maintain this until the day I die, the back of the older gold phones, the XS and the iPhone 8, looks like the cream filling of like a Boston cream donut or a delicious custard. It just, it looks like something that I could scoop up with a spoon and eat as a treat. And I like that. I want that on my phone.
Oh, you want to eat your phone?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I agree. I like this gold color. I like, you know, sort of the idea. I'm honestly, I'd be okay with like the copper. I was just looking up iPhone 16 Pro color. I just looked that up and I was looking at some of these leaks. And some of them are like pretty dark, almost like a leather kind of look, or that's what it makes me think of when I'm looking at it. And like, I don't necessarily mind that either. I think
it's a
like
bit poop phone.
I need to see what it looks like in person. I agree that it could go south, you know, depending on the way it looks. But like, I don't know. I like the titanium, the natural titanium here, but I think that it would be fun to have a little bit more. I mean, like this color is gray, pretty much, or like light gray. So yeah, it's a nice color, but something with a little bit more going on to it might be a little bit nice. So if they pull off a good gold color, I think I would be happy to go with that.
All I know is that every single year I got to change the color. Otherwise, I can't tell I got a new phone, because that's how it works these days. I wish it wasn't the case, but honestly, the color is the most noticeable thing generation to generation. I'll make an exception maybe for the 15 Pro just because titanium and the rounded edges. I did like that mild design update, but it has now been 4, arguably 5 years, depending on who you ask, since we've had like a big redesign. I don't know, and even then, I feel like the iPhone 10 morphed into the 11, right? It was a very similar design. They kind of changed the camera bump. And then the 11 kind of redesigned into the 12, but they kept a lot of things. So that was kind of a morph as well. And then obviously the 13 and the 14, that's not a redesign at all. It morphed into a dynamic island, and then it morphed into titanium and being a little bit more round again. But it seems like Apple doesn't really do redesigns anymore. It just does morphs.
No, I completely agree. I feel like people throw around the term redesign way too loosely. Like,
yes,
the iPhone 3GS to the iPhone 4 is a redesign.
Okay? That's a redesign.
The 4/4S to the 5, it's a redesign.
Huge.
5/5S to the 6, that's a redesign, right?
Insane.
Massive. Incredible. And going up to the iPhone 10, that was the iPhone 10, right? We love the iPhone 10. Truly, folks, we love it. It's amazing. So
you notice the iPhone 10 no longer in favor. They don't talk about the iPhone 10 anymore.
But like, yeah, if you put the iPhone 10 and the iPhone 15 next to each other, obviously, you will notice differences. Obviously, you're going to notice the sides. The sides are flat on the 15 and they're more rounded on the 10. Whatever. You'll notice differences. The camera bump is obviously a huge one. I mean, you'll compare those camera bumps. It's like night and day. But at the end of the day, fundamentally, it's nowhere near as much of a difference as if you put an iPhone, even an iPhone 8, which is a little bit weird, but let's say an iPhone 7 next to an iPhone 10. That's a much bigger difference than a 10 next to a 15. So I absolutely agree. I think redesign has been thrown around way too much. And honestly, we may never get another redesign of the iPhone unless it's like a folding phone, if Apple ever decides to do that.
I think you're right. I really do. I think this is the design of the iPhone. I mean, it'll change eventually. I feel like in 10 years' time, you'll look back and think, wow, the iPhone 15 looks a lot different than the iPhone 25. But I don't think it's going to happen all at once.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Tim Cook already axed the whole S and regular year. That has been gone for a while. So it seems like the redesign is going away with it. Kind of weird to think about. It's a smart business move, but Gurman doesn't seem to think that this year's iPhone is going to be that big of a deal. It seems like the iPhone 17 is where it's all about. But I'll tell you what, I hear that every single year. Last year, I swear, you can go back through and look, and you will find people in the rumors videos saying, yeah, the iPhone 15 is going to be great. They're moving to titanium, doing X, Y, and Z. But the iPhone 16 is going to be the real update. Now they're saying, yeah, you know, the 17, that's where it's going to really be at. Next year, wouldn't you know it, same time this year, I guarantee we're going to say, ah, you know, I've been hearing the iPhone 18 is going to really shake things up a little bit.
That's, and I feel like, I remember the iPhone Ultra rumors from like a year or two ago. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Wasn't that supposed to be this year? Or was that supposed to be next year? I thought it was supposed to be this year.
I can't remember. You might be right.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, and we haven't, I haven't heard anything, at least, about the iPhone Ultra in a long time. I don't know if people are still talking about that.
I think it was ambiguous. The Ultra was going to, I think it was going to be this year. And then now we're hearing about the iPhone Air.
Right.
That's the word on the street now. Honestly, I think that the iPhone Ultra is just the iPhone 16 Pro Max because it got bigger. Because I swear, I'm sure someone will fact check me, but I swear I remember seeing that the iPhone Ultra was going to be 6.9 inches.
No, that sounds about right. Yeah, I agree with you that they're like every year it's like, yeah, next year is going to be the big one. I don't think so. Like you said, you know, the iPhone, you look, you get the iPhone 25 and you put it next to the iPhone 15 and you're like, yeah, clearly it's different. In the same way that you put an iPhone 10 and an iPhone 15 next to each other, they're clearly different. Clearly, you know, things have changed, but you can't point to 1 year or even a couple of years that are like super significant, maybe a couple years, but you can't point to 1 year that's super significant. It's that morphing, like you said, that overtime change. And I think that that's kind of where the iPhone is going to be. It almost sounds like that's where the Apple Watch is, at least right now. Like we said before, it's not supposed to get a big redesign. Maybe the Apple Watch is kind of there a little bit. iPad arguably kind of there. I don't know. Well, it seems like that's Apple's, you know, Apple's new philosophy, or maybe not so new.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess we'll find out more about their philosophy in about 12 hours, 15 hours, 14 hours. Ooh, it's getting soon. Basically, we're going to go eat dinner, go to bed, wake up, and come right back. That's kind of what's happening.
Yeah, honestly, like, because I literally just got back from traveling Friday evening, so it, like, hasn't fully hit me. But, like, yeah, we're getting an Apple event tomorrow. Like, that's exciting. I'm excited.
Dude, it's going to be sick. Now, I've scheduled our live coverage for tomorrow. We're going to start 40 minutes before the event, because I feel like we've done an hour, and we've been, like, so antsy that we've been, like, come on, please get started. And then we've also done the opposite, which is do 30 minutes or 20 minutes. And then we're like, holy crap, this is happening so soon. So I'm putting it at 9:20 Pacific. The event is at 10. So that gives us 40 minutes of last minute anticipation and excitement. We'll do bingo. We'll do the usual. I would assume that most people here have probably, they probably know the drill at this point. So it goes without saying that we cannot embed Apple Stream in our stream. You're welcome to watch with us and sync up with our coverage. We'll be here before. We'll be here after. Probably very briefly afterwards because I got to make videos. But, dude, I'm excited.
I'm really excited. I got to get the bingo board ready for tomorrow, but that's always a lot of fun.
Hell
and,
yeah.
Yeah, we've got an event to cover, so we'll be back here in 14 hours, like you said.
Indeed, indeed. We will see you guys in 14 hours. I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Get some sleep, and we'll see you in the morning.
Take care.